We're recording.
Yoni, don't say anything. We're recording.
We're on the record. Hi, Christina.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. The training I heard went well today. The coordinated action.
I don't know. I'm not so sure. We did fine, but I think the audience was a little bit
perplexed.
It was 9 a.m. and everyone was just like.
Yeah.
Glazed over. So.
Yeah.
The information was given. How well it was heard, I don't know.
Right.
Do you want to start with a roll call? We can do the people in the room.
Sure.
First.
Yeah. Good morning. Is it morning? No.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon. we're here for the Rules and Bylaws Committee. My name is Yoni Khan.
Laura Golino De Lovato here.
Christina Drinks.
And then on the phone we have.
Deborah MC.
Okay. So hopefully Mike will be able to join us.
Cool.
But we can go ahead and get started now. I'm sorry that I did not send out the bylaws sooner. I meant to get it out beforehand. We had at our last meeting, from what I remember, talked about reviewing the bylaws holistically, going through it and deciding what to change as a re-framework for the commission. But something that Yoni suggested is that the bylaw structure themselves is based in the city bylaw template that they're moving towards adopting. So there's a lot of things in here that are technical and structural. And so originally when the bylaws were created, there was just a content document that had all of the topics that the commission wanted to put into bylaws and all of the specifics on those. And then I merged that into the city template. And so what might be a good idea, instead of trying to edit the bylaws as they are written, is to return to that concept of having topics that the commission would like to see in their bylaws and then merging that into the bylaws and then reviewing that before sending it back to the full commission. So I think a place to start would be seeing how people feel about that idea and then figuring out next steps.
Yeah. Basically, I read through this today, and I feel like we would be really spinning our wheels if we actually tried to, wordsmith this document. So, my sense is that I'd like to hear everyone's opinion, but ultimately, if we could come up with an outline of what we already know how this committee functions. We already know that people come. We already know what people get excited about and what they want to talk about. So, why don't we just craft a new set according to what we already know?
I was thinking the same thing. I was reading this in advance of the meeting and just being like, well, we're going to take
all this out.
So, I think trying to work within the structure, what we already have, is just
too much.
Doesn't make much sense.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense at all. So I'm in favor of that.
Cool. Hey, Deborah, how do you feel about starting over with an outline?
Yeah, I agree.
Cool.
All right.
We have unanimous 4-0 vote. Doesn't
Woo-hoo.
Happen very often.
Meeting adjourned.
So for next steps, why don't we just come up with a list of things that people think should be included in the bylaws, and then we can kind of go through. I'm open to suggestions. I'm only leading the conversation because.
Aren't you the co-chair?
I tend to talk a lot. I'm open to any ideas. So my sense is if we came up with a list of what folks want included, we can then weigh that against how things practice in reality and then flesh out each of those sections. But let's have a talk about it. What's a good next step is the question for the group.
And just a point of clarification, I would imagine some of these things are going to stay in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking like almost kind of starting at section 7 is where we're kind of scrapping it, and then, right, so up until then that.
That's exactly what I was thinking, that actually all the way through. Yes, all the way through section 6.
Yeah.
Just to recommend keeping those sections. And then section 7, meeting categories, is where we get started to.
And then maybe do we bring come back at a 9 and 10 stays in? Removal of members and communication probably would stay in.
9, 10, and 11.
Yeah. 12.
And 12.
So something I can do for the next meeting is also, since we've done this, the city updated its bylaw mm-hmm. template. So there are some changes that will happen there as well. But what I can do is, for the next meeting, take the updated bylaw template, take what is already in code, because some of this comes from the city code language that created the RSC, and create a skeleton bylaw, so you will all be aware of what's in that, because there are some items there that could be changed if there's interest. Mm-hmm. But separate from the discussion you're all having of generating a content sheet, I can also create an outline of where the bylaws will be, what content will be going into it, so you all have that for the next meeting.
Andres, do you know off the top of your head, because I think that's great, in categories, so we're really talking about, sections 7 and 8. Are really the two sections that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Is the content of any of those two sections dictated by the forming documents?
No.
Okay.
So as I remember, there's actually no room in the city bylaws for those topics.
Right.
And so I just added sections in the middle of the bylaw template and created a new section.
All right.
So, I mean, you know, section 7 is interesting. I think it's section 7 where it describes the meeting categories. We don't really have that. What we do is, I mean, maybe what we should reflect is, the meetings will center around the topic that PHB staff asks us to discuss based on city council's agenda,
or the work plan,
and then maybe a caveat that you have the opportunity to introduce other items for discussion within certain contexts, so people don't feel like they're boxed out. But that's always the issue, right? Is that you create too strict of a something, and then other things pop in. So we got to make them flexible enough.
And that's what I think my takeaway, just in looking at this more closely reflecting, is that this is much too prescriptive.
Right.
And it gets us into trouble, because if we can't follow, I think that the risk is that if we can't follow the bylaws, then that puts us in a sort of dicey position,
a tenuous
position. But I wonder if, so if this, it's sort of the intent of the meeting categories was to ensure in some way that there was a process for hearing a topic, for bringing up a topic, regardless of whether it was on a work plan or PHB staff brought it, or if there was something that somebody came up with. But hearing that topic and determining the priority, how does the group determine whether or not a topic that I bring up is really something that we want to discuss that might displace something that's on the work plan.
Right.
So the topics that come up, to ensure that we have public testimony and that broader, I think the one narrative that I've heard again and again is the broader opportunity to hear more from public.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of a work session where we really flesh it out.
Well, and that also dovetails with Margot's request about
having
some more listening sessions and having that more
systematized,
or, you know, something that happens more regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't know if it's possible. I agree with everything you said.
We're doing good today.
Just kind of thinking about the agendas that Andre sends out, and starting at the most basic level of, like, how our time is structured between meetings, it tends to be, I think, two or three things that are between 10 or 15 minutes long, with a place for public testimony, followed by a longer 40-minute discussion and maybe one 10 to 15-minute thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's great, maybe we can put like a broader framework on that for each meeting, which is like in the first 10 to 15 minutes, we're presented with all the things that PHB staff and city council want us to discuss, and we kind of talk about that, and then have a second ongoing list of things people want to add to that, then public testimony, then a 20-minute discussion about PHB things, and a 20-minute leftover for whatever else has been added. I don't know. Again, prescriptive, and my mind kind of works prescriptively, so
I
can back up on that,
too.
Yeah,
I think that may be too defined. Yeah. And I think there needs to be a way to kind of vet, too, the issues people want to bring to the table. Just because someone wants to bring it, I don't think that means it can take up 20 minutes on the agenda.
Yeah, that's fair.
There has to be some buy-in, right? And that's a majority or whatever the numbers are to say that, yes, that's worthwhile of our time to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of see it in a sort of stepping up a little bit from what you just said.
Yeah.
Is that there's basically two things that we're doing at the RSC meetings. We're discussing very specific topics, whether it's rental registration or the screening criteria, you know, or whether it's hearing a presentation about a certain topic. But we're talking about a topic, and then we've got public testimony. And I think if what we identify here is that that really the intent of, you know, this the bylaws and rules as a guiding document allows us to say the topics for discussion are going to come from the work plan or PHB or from a commissioner, but those that come from a commissioner have to have a vetting process so that they don't just automatically take up 20 minutes. And then the public testimony piece, I think that's where we have an opportunity in these rules and bylaws to say, how do we incorporate Margot's suggestion and what's referenced here around listening sessions into the meetings so that the public testimony piece is not merely the 3 minutes that whoever signs up gets, but that perhaps it's more robust.
Mm-hmm.
And then the specific structure of whether it's 10 minutes here and then public testimony and then further discussion is just dependent on what the topic might be, who the presenter might be. That's sort of maybe... So I think for me, the gnarliest part of that is, how do we vet topics that come up at the meeting so that they don't displace topics that were on the agenda?
Well, and is there a way, I mean, and you all should weigh in here. I mean, I would imagine the work plan is, you know, obviously it's very intentionally made, right? The timing of it and when things are being discussed in light of when things are going to council, when things are needing to be decided. Would it almost make sense to kind of block out certain meetings as this is a commission-directed issue? And just kind of like, it's an empty on the work plan? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So maybe it's every 6 months.
Yeah.
And then there can be a tenant issue and a landlord issue, because not everyone obviously is going to agree on what the most pressing issue should be that's not already on the work plan. So we take up kind of two new issues, one from each side of the table. I don't know what the frequency of those, like, you know, open-ended meetings would be.
Mm-hmm.
That's one idea.
Can you just flesh that out a little more? So we'd have these we'd have two categories of meetings, one of which would be agenda setting based on...
Well, I guess I don't know if I was getting that. I'm not sure I've thought it through that specific...
No, it's cool.
...that in lots of detail. Just more thinking, we have this work plan, right? And I would imagine Andres has the topics for the meetings booked out for, you know, God knows how long in advance till
the rest of our natural lives.
But every 6 months, there's just like a open meeting with nothing said on it, and that is to be determined by the issues that are raised by the commissioners.
And one
we all have to agree on what they are.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
And I think that I really like that idea. And then I think it's finding the mechanism.
Yeah.
So is the mechanism identified specifically in the bylaws as that sort of goes to this sort of to this inner work session, but basically if we know on our calendar, and I think that's the and that's why I really like your idea, because we know in 6 months it's going to be an open meeting. So if the process is, okay, I want to talk about X.
Right.
So I look at this and I say, oh, here's the process for my topic coming to the meeting. It gets submitted to rules and bylaws or the executive committee.
Right.
You know, in some ways I think it's more the executive committee that would say, oh, Laura wants to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
Yoni wants to talk about this. And here's a request from a member of the public who wants to talk about this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Mm-hmm. I can live with that.
And then the executive committee would say, oh, well, you know...
Yeah, and I don't know what we do. I mean, part of... It's like, well, then what do we do with that, right? So then we've talked about what we want to talk about, but then what, right? So then we're like, yeah, that's a great idea.
Well...
What are we going to do about it?
And but that's where I think the executive committee and not... having looked at a description of their responsibility, but that's where I think the executive committee could sort of use their weight a little bit to say, oh, look, we've got these three requests or four requests for topics in the open meeting that's coming up in 2 months. Two of these topics are directly related to something we have in our work plan.
Right.
So let's have those come to the meeting. The other two, we've either talked about it before, and I'm just making this
up. Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of some, like, people would submit them in advance, so everyone can kind of be stewing on them for a little bit, right? And then we talk about them as a group, maybe at this open meeting. But then what we do with it once we say that's a great idea, I'm not entirely sure.
Well, I think that maybe that's the other piece of what we can get specific about, is to say, okay, if your topic is accepted, then you have to give a presentation with a, you know, maybe part of it is part of these rules are that
it's folded into the work plan somehow.
Or or if, you know, if the executive committee says, great, Laura, we want to hear about X, you want to do that. You come to the meeting and you prepare a presentation that tells us why you think this is important, how is it, you know, we see that it ties to the work plan here. You tell us how it's relevant. What is it that you're looking for? We'll have a discussion. And without predetermining what the outcome would be, aim to have a sort of an in the end of a discussion to basically say, wow, this merits additional research, or we're going to ask PHB to look into this, or, you know... And something like that, because then that would also say, you know, would provide some structure and discipline around bringing up topics, not just to bring them up or to complain or whatever, but you're actually bringing something substantial. And that could apply to the member of the public as well.
If we were to kind of building off of everything that's being talked about, so just to go back to a basic point you made about the things we do two things. We discuss specific topics and we listen to public testimony. I also think that we actually vote too. And that, like, there needs to be a designated moment where people know they're on the record, especially with, like, the conflict of interest stuff. They know they're on the record for a vote. So we're going to... My feeling is that we need some kind of designated moment. It doesn't have to be, like... again, periodical, or it happens at this time on this meeting, but, like, people need to be informed, like, we're now ready for voting, and...
Voting on the issues people have brought to the table?
Or like, voting on anything that goes out to council as a recommendation, basically, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's, it maybe replace the word voting with formal commission action.
Yeah, there you
on
go.
On an issue, so like the letters that we that we talked about. So and it could be a vote. It could be any sort of formal commission action, and maybe that would be part of the structure of sort of our items for discussion that we also know in advance, and maybe we do to a certain extent already, that we're going to be asked to give a recommendation.
Right.
You know, and I think that Dennis has done a good job in saying, read this because you're going to be asked to give a recommendation. But then if we have these items that come up at a meeting every 6 months, that there's also, you know, a request for recommendation there. Does the commission want to continue to pursue this topic? And that could be that moment where we say, you know, that's just not in our wheelhouse. That should go to BDS or whatever. Or no, we're not going to discuss it, but it's part of now the record.
I like the conversation about the open meeting. I think that in order to avoid, I don't want it to be deemed a meeting that people, oh, there's nothing on the table, so I'm not coming to that one, because we have good attendance, and I think what draws the attendance is that we're following City Council in pretty closely contested issues. So my recommendation would be, if we're going to create this periodical meeting that's kind of open, in order to get on the agenda for that meeting, submit in advance your topic plus your presentation at the same time, or shortly thereafter the presentation, so that, and then the executive committee will decide, is this something that should go in that separate meeting, or is this something that actually falls under another scheduled meeting? Like, I want to talk about mandatory education for landlords. Well, we can put that in our open meeting, or that might maybe come up better in the landlord registration conversation.
And that's why I was suggesting that executive committee make
that decision. Yeah.
But process-wise, we're saying is, you know, at 3 months or more prior to these six-month meetings, present your topic and a summary of what you want to talk about. Executive committee would then look at that and say, oh, well, that ties to this agenda that we're having, so why have a separate meeting? But I think you're also right about how do we make sure that the people come and that it doesn't become a free-for-all, so that it's still structured.
This is Deborah. Can I ask
Deborah
a question?
Yes.
Sorry, I tried not to interrupt, but is the executive committee going to make the decision about not just whether it should be in the open meeting or in the a regular agenda item, but are they also making the decision about whether the topic is appropriate to be at the RSC in the first place?
Yes. I think so. I mean, I think they would be looking at it in terms of the direction from the ordinance, you know, the guidance of what the purview of the commission is.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I understood that.
Yeah, and I would say I would agree with that, because that is sort of a stopgap to prevent just any topic from, because we want the topics to be relevant to the purpose of the commission.
Yeah, and those are the exact kind of details, Deborah, that I guess it's our role to give structure to. One other thing I'm concerned about as we talk about the open meeting is, you know, things don't really run on a linear schedule with City Council, so what ends up happening is we think it's coming up at a certain time, but then it ends up being bumped 6 weeks later, and then all of a sudden it's like, we need to chime in because it's the most relevant time to chime in, and our prior opinions on things don't matter as much. So how do we kind of work with the level of flexibility we need to address the most pressing issues, too?
I think there will have to, like you said, be a degree of flexibility and maybe treating it as a floating meeting. So, like, after the end of, like, the emergency work plan, we return to our normally scheduled thing, starting with the floating meeting that we've been waiting on. Because I think that there will definitely be times where that happens.
Yeah.
And the way I've managed the work plan so far is the executive committee is tasked with making agendas, but I've tried to bring the work plan to the commission as much as possible to be like, here is staff's suggestion. It's a suggestion because we think that this is what makes the most sense given like what council's doing, what the RSC's priorities are, and what they want to weigh in on. But we also don't want to be prescriptive and say you need to listen to these in this order. And so then it becomes a balancing exercise for the entire commission to say, do we have our blank meeting to talk about what we decided to talk about? Do we talk about this other topic that is moving on a separate timeline?
Yeah. No, I like the flexibility. I think that's what's made the meeting sort of good. I wonder if, is there another mechanism that we can use to find out what council's going to be looking at that would inform us a little bit more? I mean,
we could ask.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think it's worth asking. Mm-hmm. We're also sort of making an assumption that we're being reactive to council. Mm-hmm. And I would say maybe we don't have to be. Maybe the commission can be proactive and actually push things to council. Mm-hmm. So having the opportunity mm-hmm. to either have a commission member or a member of the public
yeah.
come to the commission with an issue that maybe isn't anywhere on the commission's radar, but on the council's radar, but the commission says, oh, yeah,
right.
this is a really important topic. We want to push this to city council. So it's ultimately flexible, but also a give and take.
Yeah, I mean, that was exactly my thinking as to why we would want the ability to bring forth issues. So
yeah, right.
we can also kind of drive the agenda.
Exactly.
A bigger
yeah.
agenda.
Which I think is a big piece of what
yeah.
I think we
so maybe when we're talking about categories of meetings, we're talking about 5 reactive meetings and 1 proactive meeting out of every 6 meetings. And what I mean by that is we reserve 1 meeting for things that are not on council that we want to be pushed to council, but everything else is based on council's schedule so we can respond in the most time efficient way and most impactful way. And then we have the option of, you know, if the proactive meeting is scheduled and then the council's like, well, we're making this big decision tomorrow, we have the option at that time to take a group vote and postpone it.
Right.
But I think my point is I like the classification of proactive versus reactive. There should be a moment, there should be a space for, especially for public testimony, folks to come in and say, this is not being handled. This is not being addressed.
Well, I think this also goes along with listening sessions, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I think if we're having these meetings, we want to make, and we want to hear from the public, it has to be a meaningful time and place for it,
mm-hmm.
which is not downtown in the middle of the day, or in the working hours.
Well, and right. And I think that's important. Mm-hmm. So I think how does the commission address the need for public testimony sessions where people are, when they can attend, that become official listening sessions, which then dictates that a certain number of commissioners be there. So I think they're sort of extra. They're outside of our meeting, our regular meeting
yeah.
schedule. But I think that by saying we're going to make the commitment to do that twice a year,
right.
quarterly,
whatever
it is.
You do it in advance of these mm-hmm. proactive sessions, and all the items
mm-hmm.
that were brought to the listening session are put to the table, put to the group at this, you know,
yeah.
somewhat regular meeting.
Right.
As like additional topics to consider and discuss.
Yeah. I think, I mean, do we need to, if we're going to send it all to the executive committee for the open proactive topics or whatever, does one of us need to be there or no? Probably not, right? Okay.
I wouldn't think so.
Okay.
I think as long as the process, which
mm-hmm.
is sort of what we're developing, as long as the process is really clear.
Right.
You know, that this is how you get these topics in front of executive committee.
Okay.
That's the part that we want to really make sure that it's clear. And I like the idea of saying there's listening sessions, and then 3 months later, whatever, is the floating meeting, so that there's time for both an official forum to take place where RSC commissioners are listening, where people can come and do more than
mm-hmm.
their 3 minutes. And then from that, either someone says, I want to come to the commission and present this, or the commission says, wow, we really need to take this up,
mm-hmm.
that is sort of a nice process structure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How far in advance, generally speaking, you try to send out the agenda 2 weeks before, right? or is it a week before? Like, what, in an ideal world, when would it come out?
A week before. So the meeting materials are sent out a week before. The agenda usually gets developed with the executive committee, which is a day under 2 weeks before.
And when do you get input, or what's the process for getting input from council, and how you figure out, or is that a trade secret?
We hear things. it's never been formal. I don't even remember how screening criteria and security deposits ended up in front of the RSC. I think I assume at some point, I actually have no idea. Maybe a commitment was made during, because I know the bylaw or the security deposit proposal was heard by the relocation technical advisory group, and so then when it became the RSC, there was just an assumption that it would go to the RSC, and then it started coming to the RSC and kept coming to the RSC, but it wasn't a directive, it wasn't an official communication, it just semi-organically happened.
That's cool.
And then similarly, the mayor has been vocal and clear that he, his top priority for the rental services office is rental registration. And so then, as that being the top priority and something that is being conducted out of PHB, that became a major topic.
So I actually have another thought about that, is that we have, I think through this committee, we have the opportunity to prevent stuff from just, to try at least through this process, to prevent stuff from just randomly showing up and messing up this work plan. Because I think that that's been one of the things that was also a little bit hard for me, was thinking, oh, you know, we're going down this road, and I, like you, have a, I like to see that, you know, okay, here's what I'm going to expect, here's a nice linear thing, and then bam. And so for council to also know that, okay, well, we've got this work plan, and some of those directives are coming from the mayor because he set up the commission, great. But when something else rises to the level that the mayor says, yeah, or somebody says, I'd really like the RSC to look at this, I think having a process by which, you know, that topic either comes to one of these floating meetings or displaces a scheduled item.
Almost like priorities.
Yeah, and but I think that there's, I guess what I'm getting at is not just the priorities, but also that there is a way for rental services as a commission to say, yeah, we don't want to do that right now. We know you think that's important, but you made that decision that that's going to be on our agenda without even talking to us. And I think that, to me, that's a little cheeky.
Yeah, I think that it makes sense to make that more formal.
Right, and more formal way of topics coming, you know, without being snarky about it. But
no,
right, yeah, yeah.
Because I bring the work plan to the commission to offer the opportunity to say no, but it's a passive opportunity, and it requires actively rejecting like what's written. And so I think explicitly laying out the process by which it's created and like the process by which the commission sets it is good, and that should be in the bylaws.
Yeah, I think so.
I couldn't agree with Laura more. I mean, I realize that we all were just sort of feeling our way, but, you know, if you stop and think about the number of times we say, you know, are related to different things about, well, you know, if we had the data or if we knew, how's this policy going to impact small landlords and whatever. I mean, probably in a perfect, smarter world, we would have gotten on the landlord registration immediately, because that's what's going to give us the information to know how the housing community is responding to some of this. So, you know, moving forward, if we as a group, you know, could be more thoughtful about, have an opportunity to be more thoughtful about, in some cases, whether we're getting the cart before the horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as a time check, we have about 20 minutes left. I've been trying to keep notes, and so some of the topics that I've heard come up that people would like to see discussed or put in the bylaws is a process for introducing topics, which would be defining how items get introduced, from where, and then proactively asking perhaps council offices for topics or timelines. Discussing public testimony and input, so both at meetings as well as through listening session, and thinking about how the timing of that would work out. For agendas and the work plan, having a floating meeting around every 6 months where the commission would generate topics for discussion and go through a process that would be vetted by exec, set by a process created by the bylaws. And being clear about when actions will occur, so whether it's a vote or whether it's a letter, noting that in some way so people are aware that it's coming up. And then as a result of that, talking about what actions the RSC has, so thinking about the different outputs it has of voting, sending recommendations to council, but also some form of proactively sending ideas to council. So those are some of the items I've captured to continue flushing out through the committee. Are there other items?
I wanted to flag one other thing. It's become apparent to me, and I'm speaking for myself as well as potentially other people, not in this room, but on the committee, in terms of developing a formal position on whatever we're dealing with, it's been made clear to me that I am not an individual, that I carry my organization's position. And so, that being said, I'm not sure the bylaws have to reference this, but I think that the timing for things kind of gets messy when you're waiting on the whole bureaucracy of the group you represent to agree or disagree on a certain topic. And do we want to have an open dialogue with the commission as a whole over what that process is like? For me, it's I have to go to our executive director, and then he has to schedule a board meeting, and then the board has to agree to meet, and then sometimes we're discussing a topic or a version of a topic that is 2 or 3 weeks old by that point and is irrelevant, right? And so that becomes a challenge in terms of how do we, I mean, that's pretty much how it went with TSC, you know, for me. It's not that there's barriers ideologically to any particular issue. It's just that
it's one process running up against another.
Exactly. And I just don't know how to streamline that any easier. And I'm not sure it needs to be. I mean, maybe it's just like this is the deadline and that's how you have to handle it. But
well, I wonder if, because I think it, you know, every organization or business that's represented by an individual sitting on the commission works differently.
Totally.
And
yeah.
So
it might just be me. That's difficult.
But let's say you went off the commission and it was another organization that had an even more intense process, you know, or
three board meetings.
Right, exactly. I mean, so I think you have to sort of look at every possibility.
Yeah.
But I wonder if focusing on what deadlines does RSC have to meet its mission of moving these issues forward? Either moving issues forward proactively or reacting to something. So yes, there's going to be a deadline. Your organization might not be able to meet it.
Right.
Mine might be, yours might be, a business. Mike Nuss could just say, yeah, whatever, because it's a different structure. But then I wonder if by saying, well, this is the deadline by this time, Andres needs our input. And I wonder if there's then a mechanism on your side that says, hey, this needs to go to the board in this special way.
I agree with that. That's right.
Yeah.
That's totally
like that.
Right. So maybe then all we need to put in the bylaws is Deadlines
are going to
be
identified
set at the soonest possible convenience of PHB staff, and that each member must decide by then, whatever their process is.
Right, and if your decision is, well, I abstain because I can't
get it through, then I'll explain that.
Right.
But it would just help kind of it would be help streamline things to just know that, like, these are the deadlines. Mm-hmm. And you have been doing that. It's more of a matter of just formalizing what we already do in practice, so I can then explain it to the people I need to explain it to.
Yeah.
Is that cool?
And that's a really good point, too, because then for future members of the commission as they come in, then it's going to be really clear. We're not waiting on you. You know, it's up to you to go figure out your process with your organization in order for you to meet that deadline.
And for people to just know in advance that, like, the deadline is the deadline. It's not an Andre's deadline. It's whatever information he's getting from whomever, whether it's city council, the city attorney, Shannon Callahan, or whoever. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is what they need by then. Mm-hmm. And that's not, we cannot alter that, and so do what you need to do.
I had a question about the listening sessions. I guess I'm not completely sure if it's actually in, you know, what role the bylaws play in that. I think that the bylaws should identify that listening sessions should take place, and they should be tied to, you know, the intent of being able to bring up topics that then come to these meetings. But would we want to put in the bylaws a recommendation for RSC to facilitate 2 listening sessions a year, 1 listening sessions as determined, needed? You know, how specific do we want to get with that? And
I mean, what's feasible?
Yeah.
It is feasible for staff to support 2 meetings a year. I think from there it then becomes a question of how prescriptive do you want to be in the bylaws, mm-hmm. knowing that things come up.
Because I think what it would more clearly identify is we want there to be listening sessions. And we are committed to that to the extent that we're going to ensure that they're facilitated. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that I would want to go as far as saying they're going to be 2 times a year, 2 months before the floating meeting at 7:01 p.m. on the east side and 1 on the west side. But I think that something that says, we're going to commit to this and make it happen. It's just that the details will be figured out later. Yeah. I don't know if that's enough, too much.
I think it's fair. What that reminds me of is at the last meeting, Deborah made a point of how a lot of organizations have bylaws and they are legally bound to uphold their bylaws.
Right.
So you do not put things in the bylaws that you cannot legally commit to.
Exactly.
So I think it's reasonable to have practices that are not explicitly laid out in the bylaws because something might happen. You don't want to set a practice of saying, well, there are things in the bylaws, but we don't always follow them.
Right, exactly. And I think the other thing, by saying, we're going to have 1 to 2 listening sessions a year, there's a commitment made, but then those 2 sessions could be 2 weeks apart if it's a really hot topic. Mm-hmm. Or there could just be 1 session if it's 1. So I don't, that's
So where we're at now is it's 1:48, 12 minutes left. What do you guys think will be the best use of our time between now and the next meeting in terms of either like figuring out a next step now or figuring out how the next steps should be figured out?
Well, I think Andres sort of outlined a little bit at the top of the meeting. If he takes this and sort of replaces sections 7 and 8 with a little bit of this, with what he's annotated from our notes, and then we input on that.
Is that cool?
Yeah. So I can create, what I'll do is I'll take the template for the city bylaws and identify any empty points or like any places where I've input information, and then I'll also separately put together just like a content document with the different things you talked about. And then next meeting, you can both review the skeleton bylaws as well as the content document and expand on them, change on them, and so I guess coming to the meeting with thoughts and having reviewed them
sure.
could be a next step.
Okay. So would your schedule allow you to do some of this prior to the next meeting?
Yeah.
So that we could then get that?
Yes.
And we would then commit to review it and all that. Okay.
My goal is always for the RSC to send out meeting materials 2 weeks in advance, or 1 week in advance, sorry.
Right, right.
I just dropped the ball this past time, but I can absolutely commit to having it to you at least a week in advance of the next meeting.
I want to go on the record as saying that I always feel really guilty for PHB staff whenever we have these meetings, because it ends up leaving them with more to do and less time to do it. And I feel bad.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I feel bad, sorry, but I do appreciate all the work that you put in to meet the deadlines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our next meeting is the 30th, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. And I think that we show our appreciation by meeting our end of the bargain as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
By showing up?
Showing up, having read the materials that Andres and Stacy have worked hard on preparing for us, whether it's a day before or a week before.
Right. I mean, you all have mentioned it, but this is a very functional advisory body. It's a very engaged advisory body.
Yeah.
People come to meetings prepared.
Yeah, which is nice.
Come to most of the meetings, and all of those things are fairly unique.
It does help that we discuss the same topics for 6 weeks straight.
Sure.
That does help.
It does help.
Yeah.
We all have the same background.
That's the secret sauce.
That's the secret sauce.
Yeah.
That was not a dig. That was like an actual statement.
Yeah.
Like, we're all very familiar with
right.
specific topics.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, actually, that's a really good point.
Yeah. And maybe making note that we recognize as a rules committee in the bylaws that some topics need more than one discussion period, right? Some, and that the group needs to be, we need to have a mechanism to identify when the group wants to keep talking about something because there hasn't been sufficient resolution or positions developed, right? That's pretty much what's happening with landlord registration as well as tenant screening criteria. And it seems to me the way the group functions is a back and forth between kind of smaller framed issues that can be addressed with one or two meetings and these long-standing conversations with evolving pieces of legislation that really need to be consistently addressed and tweaked. And giving the flexibility for both of those is really what we're already doing.
Right, and that's what I was going to say, is I really like that we've been able to say, well, I'm not ready to take action. And I think it's partly because Andres has identified this is the ultimate end goal here. And that's really nice, because then you can say to yourself, wow, I'm not anywhere near ready to that. I would like more time or whatever. And if you're in the minority, you're in the minority. But if the majority says, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
And that's a nice kind of flexibility.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anyone else want to add anything about anything?
Pilot Project's having its fundraiser on May 5th, the walkathon.
Cool.
I encourage you all to come. It's baby friendly.
Can you send me the information?
I will.
I would love to. If I can make it, I'd love to.
Yeah.
Where is it?
South Park Blocks between Montgomery and College.
This Sunday?
And there's free May 5th.
Oh, May 5th. Cool.
Cinco de Walkathon.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Free pizza. For any
I think we can make that, actually. I'll try to do that.
Right.
I'm going to not promise on the record that it'll be there.
Yeah. Don't promise on the record. Bring your dog. Your grandma with her walker.
Yeah. That's
your
awesome.
Kid's stroller. I guarantee it's going to be sunny.
It's cool.
Yeah, I'm screwed on that one.
I
can guarantee the pizza.
I love pizza.
Oh, and soda, water.
Cool.
Soda and water.
That's awesome. Should I make a motion to adjourn unless anyone else wants to add something? Motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Second.
Mm-hmm. Third? Yay. Woohoo!
Everybody.
Are we productive or what?
There you go.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Ben.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.